So I have a confession to make this morning. I'm a little bit worried that you're going to judge me for this, but I'm going to say it anyways. I'm going to take a chance. I love zombie movies. I'm a huge fan. I know that's really, really nerdy, right? And I kind of feel like maybe a good pastor isn't supposed to admit something like that, but it's true. And what I love about zombies is that they're just so unnatural. When stuff dies, it's supposed to stay dead. That's what dead means. But zombies completely break all the rules. They're awesome. But seriously though, I mean, that's probably why zombies freak us out so much. Everybody knows when something is dead, it's supposed to stay dead. It doesn't come back to life. And maybe that's why it's so hard for Jesus' first followers to wrap their minds around what's going on in our scripture reading today. It's against the laws of nature. Three women approach Jesus' tomb, expecting to prepare his body for a proper burial. These women were standing near Jesus when he was on the cross. They watched him die. And the Roman soldiers overseeing the execution have had years of experience doing this. They know what death looks like. So these three women arrive at the tomb, and the first thing they notice is that the huge stone boulder blocking the front of it has been moved. It doesn't make sense. They've been worrying the whole way there about how they're going to get inside the tomb. That problem has already been solved for them. So cautiously, they enter inside the tomb and they look, and where Jesus' body was lying, they see a mysterious young man dressed in white just sitting there. The women are shocked. There's nothing that could have prepared them for something like this. The strange young man tries to comfort them, saying, "Don't be alarmed." And then he offers this weird sort of explanation, saying, "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, over there, that's the place where they laid his body." The women had seen that. They watched while Jesus' body was laid in the tomb. And now it's gone. And then it gets even stranger. The young man says, "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." The women don't know what to do with all of this. They don't know how to process it. The text says they flee from the tomb, filled with terror and amazement, and they say nothing to anyone because they're afraid. And this is where the oldest manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark end. In this weird place of ambiguity and silence. What kind of ending is that? It's like when you've watched a whole season of an epic TV show and it's building up all year to the season finale, and then it just ends in this cliffhanger. Or even worse, one of those artsy films that leaves the plot just hanging wide open with no kind of resolution in sight. The audience is just supposed to wrestle with the questions. I hate films like that. I want like a nice, tidy resolution that ties up all of those loose ends. That's why I watch TV. And that's probably why later editors added new endings onto the Gospel of Mark. You see these endings after verse 8. If you look down into the footnotes of your Bible, it will say something like this. In most authorities, verses 9 to 20 follow immediately after verse 8, though in some of these authorities, the passage is being marked as doubtful. So most Bible scholars agree that the original ending of Mark is at verse 8. The place where today we're ending our sermon series on the Gospel of Mark. The women, fleeing in terror and amazement from the tomb, say nothing to anyone because they're afraid. It's a cliffhanger. Well, seriously, though, I really can't blame those women for taking off. I mean, even today, how many times are women's voices still not believed? And during this patriarchal time of Jesus, it was actually against the law for women to testify as witnesses in court. Their testimony was deemed inadmissible unless it could be verified by a man. These women are smart. They know there's no way that Peter and the male disciples will believe their story. At best, they'll be laughed off as a bunch of silly girls who don't know what they're talking about. And at worst, they'll risk provoking the hostility of the men who view themselves as the real disciples. Never mind the fact that it's the women, not the male disciples, who stand near Jesus and bear witness to his crucifixion. They know they'll never be taken seriously, not with a story as unfathomable as this. People don't just go rising from the dead. But patriarchy has no place in God's plan. This mysterious young man in white who brings his message of hope to not to Peter and the boys, but to the women, the same women who stand faithfully looking on as Jesus is crucified, while Peter and the male disciples are busy running for their lives. I can hear the words of Jesus echoing back. The last will be first, and the first will be last. God chooses the voices of the women to be the first ones to proclaim the resurrection. Now, what we do know is that at some point, the women must have shared their story, because otherwise we wouldn't be sitting here reading it and talking about it today. Think about it. At some point, God does give them the courage to speak out, and God gives the male disciples the wisdom to listen and to believe them. At some point, the men do believe their story. God makes sure of that. You know, as much as the original ending of Mark is frustrating, I think that's also what draws me to it. It's authentic. It doesn't try to neatly tie up all the uncertainty and ambiguities with a nice, tidy little bow. It's real life. Sometimes we see God at work in some really powerful ways. And other times, we're not so sure that we actually see God at all. Sometimes other people tell us about the resurrection before we see it for ourselves. Sometimes we have to walk for a while in the midst of that sort of uncertainty. And to me, that's kind of what faith means. This hope against hope, that God is at work in some way that we can't quite fully process yet or make sense out of. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, despite all the darkness and all the pain that's in the world, faith is the hope that God is still here and still doing something good, despite all the mess. Mark is real like that. Faith is what drives the women out of the tomb, not just with terror, but also with amazement. Faith is the glimmer of possibility that maybe, just maybe, it is all real. Maybe somehow God's not dead. Maybe Jesus might just show up in some random, unexpected way. Maybe he might be there already. Maybe Jesus is gone ahead into Galilee, and maybe we'll find him there. Maybe the women disciples will overcome their silence. Maybe the male disciples will believe their crazy story. Maybe Jesus will show up and surprise all of us. Maybe he'll shine a light into the darkness, and a lot of the confusing stuff will finally become more clear. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. Amen.